purpose to hear and giving us the heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. As I promised, I put the duties executed by an apostle. It's up on the net. You can go on, and if you want to print it off, it's on a PDF. If you want to print it off, you can print it off. It's 26 of them total. You can study them. You might see them again. Hint, 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 hint. toward the end of the semester, there may be one or two or something on there. So go through and read them and look at them and study them. I still have six more to go on here. The duties executed by an apostle. And I'm, like I said, since this is new to the body of Christ, the apostles, so we want to make sure that we have a clear, exact understanding of what an apostle is and what he does. So let's go to number, I think I stopped at number 20 last time, and we pick up from 21 through 26 on the duties executed. That's, I always give this first, duties executed by an apostle. We go over the other 20 that you have. Number 21, you can add it to your notes, is number 21 is to enforce. Apostles enforce. Apostles are spiritual enforcers. They enforce kingdom conduct, holiness, and biblical standards of righteousness. To enforce means to put or keep in force, to compel obedience. Number 22 is the apostle converts. Apostles convert people to the laws and culture of the kingdom. They turn people from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. You can put scriptures, Acts 3:19 and Acts 26:18 as a reference source for your for scripture reference. Acts 3:19 and Acts 26:18. Apostles train. Apostles train and educate ministers. They develop leadership. And like I said, as you watch our apostle, we are sitting on an apostle. And if you watch him, you notice that what he's doing, he's training individuals, he's training ministers, and to operate in the kingdom accurately. That's the main thing. Part of this this course, Ever-Increasing Word Training Center, is directed toward training the body of Christ how to operate in the kingdom. Not just the membership, but also ministers and all the fivefold ministry gifts. And so, for instance, like tomorrow, tomorrow is our impartation call. And we get online with our apostle, and he trains us, he teaches us for a solid hour on the first Tuesday of every month. So he trains. That's duties of an apostle. Number 24 is apostle ordained. Apostles ordain and set in place qualified leadership. This includes selection and confirmation. Apostolic ordination releases fruitfulness. You can see John 15 and 16. Number 25 is an apostle confronts. Apostles confront false teaching, witchcraft, immorality, anything that would keep the church from fulfilling its purpose. The apostolic anointing is a confrontational anointing. And so when the apostle gets in your face, you understand that it is a confrontational anointing. And number 26, the apostle finishes. Apostles are focused on finishing. They have an anointing to execute, complete, and fulfill the prophetic plans of God. I'm reading one more time. Apostles are focused on finishing. They have an anointing to execute, complete, and fulfill the prophetic plans of God. You can see scriptures, John 14, 34. You can go back and see that as a reference scripture. And just a note here. When an apostle faithfully executes his duties, the people who have been birthed into the kingdom and disciplined by his ministry will be faithful epistles to all men, reflecting their apostolic dimensions in such a way that they will be effective in the ministries to which they has been called. And so that's a note. So you can go back and pick up those notes on the line. It's on today's date under today. It's under assignments. And so you can print them out, go through them, look at them, read them, think about them, meditate on them. So now we get back into our lesson here. When we finished off last week, last class that we was in, we began to study the prophets. We've covered the apostle as much as we can for this semester. And so we're going to go into the prophets now, of the fivefold ministry gifts. Let's go back and look at our basic scripture again. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Word of God says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, he say, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Glory to God. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And beginning at verse 27. And so every time Apostle Paul began to minister, he always bring the body into the his conversation. He began to talk about the body itself. Like in Ephesians 2, 19, he said, you're no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verse 27, it says, now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So he brought the body into it. Every member, everybody is part of this one body that the Apostle Paul is talking about. He said in verse 28, he said, and God has set. So he didn't leave out, he didn't make no claims about who set these apostles in the church. Almighty God himself is the one who set this government up. He is the one who did it, so he lets you know. He said, and God has set some in the church. He said, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, government, diversity of tongues. So he's saying once the government is set up, he said, then we begin to see those signs, those wonders, those gifts of healings that the body of Christ, that Jesus done while he was here on the earth. And the works that he said, the works that we should do and greater works should you do also, because he went to his Father. So the works that Jesus did, we are to do them. And because we are being trained by the apostle, by the fivefold ministry gifts, we are being imparted. They have that grace in them that they can impart those graces to the body of Christ. And it's just not, like I say, it's spiritual. It's not a natural thing. So when you sit under an apostolic anointing, apostolic teaching, you're not just receiving information or knowledge. You're receiving an impartation. Every time you sit under that apostle, there's an impartation that's taking place. And it's coming off of him. That's the way God set it up. And so it's by faith. When we started this course, I go back and we look at our basic statement of the principle of honor. And again, we see what it says. The principle of honor states that accurately acknowledging who people are will position us, the church, to give them what they deserve and receive the gift of who they are in our lives. So we've got an apostle in our lives, in our life. And so what we do, we receive him as apostle. Matthew 10:41. Go back and see what it said. He said, he that received an apostle or a prophet in the name of an apostle or prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And so because that impartation, that grace, those gifts are in him, and he's to impart those to the body of Christ. And so everything that we receive in the kingdom of God, we receive it by faith. So now we've covered the apostle. The next vital piece in the government of a revival church is the role of a prophet. I go back and I think about Jesus' prayer when he began to pray, and I see that prayer. He says that, this is the way he wants you to pray: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Then he gets down to the end of that prayer, and he tells God who he is. He says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And what he was saying, he said, your kingdom, your government is set up in the earth. Pray that your kingdom is set up, your government, your divine government is in the earth. And not only his government, God's ability has been given to man to operate like God and Jesus did while he was in the earth. So that's the power and the glory. Everybody know the glory. Everybody, we say it enough, all that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do. And so that's in us. We who are in the body of Christ, once that impartation has come off on you, that impartation, you can do those things. Everything that God says or Jesus says about himself in the scripture, we can do those things also because the word of God has said it. We have him in us, and so because he's in us, then we can do the same thing. Turn to Luke 7. We begin to talk about this part of this fivefold ministry gifts. And so we're going to turn to Luke 7. It's Luke 1. I look like a 1. Luke 1, 70. Luke chapter 1, verse 7. And like I say, the foundation is incomplete without the presence of the prophetic anointing. So, again, that fivefold ministry gifts is put in place. God says, I gave you apostles and I gave you prophets, and their main duties, their main role is to make sure that heaven is come to earth. God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So in order for that to happen, you have to have someone who's following him, who's being obedient to what he's saying, who's believing what he's saying, that what he said comes out of his mouth, come directly from heaven. And so therefore we can begin to operate that way. Luke chapter 1, verse 70, he said, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. So he always spoke to us through his prophet. God said, I use men to speak to my people. And so since the world began, he said, I've used the prophets to speak to my people. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Let me read through this for a while, and then we can see what the scripture's saying. I'm going to begin at verse 5. He said, and he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something. It's this young man who was at the gate of Beautiful, and he walked by. He said, then verse 6 says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping and stood up and walked, entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he who which sat for Ams at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they was filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. He said, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look so ye earnestly on us, as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man walk? He said, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, which he was determined to let go. But you not denied the Holy One and just and desired a murderer to be granted unto him and kill the Prince of Life, whom God has raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which by him has given him the perfect soundness and the presence of y'all. And now, brethren, I wot through ignorance you did it, and did also your fathers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he had so fulfilled. So as he was showing it by the prophets throughout scripture, from Genesis to Malachi, Jesus, the word of God was through the prophets was telling us that what was going to happen when Jesus comes. So it was through the mouth of the prophets. Once the prophets got here, they were telling us about what Jesus had done for us already through his word. So it's come through the mouth of the prophets. Turn to Jeremiah right quick for me. Chapter 1. God emphasizes the vitally important role of the prophets throughout Scripture. He tells us throughout Scripture the role that the prophets play in his kingdom. So here in Jeremiah, beginning at chapter 1, he said, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priest that was in Antioch in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judea, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive into the 5th month. He said, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah was a prophet. He said, if you got a Bible like mine, it said at the top, it said, the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And so he said, Jeremiah was a prophet. He said, the word of the Lord came unto me before I formed thee. That's the word God gave to him. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So God said, I'm the one who does this. I call you. He said, even before you was thought of, before you came out of the womb of your mother, I ordained you a prophet before the people. That was before he was trained, before he learned anything, before he came into this world. And God said, I call you to be a prophet. He said, before I formed thee. He said, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Then said I, our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. That's what God needs. He needs individuals who don't have their own ability, who can think for themselves. God said, he said, I can't speak. So he said what he was saying is, I have a weakness, I can't do it. So if he said I can't speak, then his dependency become total on God. And so that's what God is looking for, people who is going to totally depend on him when he get ready to carry out his acts. When we get into our own heads, our own mind, our own philosophies, our own thoughts, then God cannot use us like he wants, because we're doing our own thing and not what God wants us to do. Remember scripture, Romans 8:14 says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So you have to be able and willing to be led by the Spirit of God in order for God to manifest himself in the earth realm. He just need a vehicle. He need a vessel that he can operate through. And so when you submit yourself and obey what God is telling you to do, that's when we begin to see those supernatural acts that's happening in the Bible. Jesus was an example, and one of the things he always said, he said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. He's not saying anything of himself. And so what has happened in the body of Christ? We've gotten so much information and so much knowledge and so many scriptures. And then what we do, we sit down and we bring up outlines and we sit here and try to feed the people from these outlines. So there's no power. There's knowledge, there's information, but there's no power in the message that we are bringing forth. And since there's no power, then we're not sinning. So we're doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for our own glory, basically. But we have to do it for the glory of God. Everything we do, we have to do it for the glory of God. And when we do it for the glory of God, then those supernatural acts begin to take place. It's a supernatural kingdom that we are in. We have to get that in our heads and understand that that's what we are in. And so as our apostle is telling us, that the supernatural should be as natural to us as breathing. We don't think to breathe, so we should be able to willing to see supernatural every time every time the enemy throws something in our face. We should know that we got victory over that situation because of what Jesus have already done for us. In verse six, he said, "Then said I, our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me," he said, "say not I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee." See, God sent him. Just like he sent Jesus, he sent him. He said, "Thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." He said, whatever God said tell you to speak, that's what we should be speaking. We should not be speaking our own thing, our own philosophies, but we should speak what God said. When we speak what God say, those things, watch what he says here. Then the Lord put his hand, verse 9, and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. These are the prophets. These are men of God who's spending time in the presence of God. And when God said, I put my words in their mouth. And so when they speak those words, to the body, to the people that God sent him to, then that which God spoke is going to manifest, is going to come to life. He said, see, I have said this day, verse 10, set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, verse 12, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I, God said, will hasten my word to perform it. That's what God told Jeremiah. So when it comes out of his mouth, if he say what God told him to say, God said, I am responsible for those words that come out of your mouth. Here's that culture of honor coming into place, receiving individuals who God has put in front of us, our apostles, our pastors, our prophets, our teachers, our evangelists. And if they're speaking, if they're receiving what heaven is telling them, then God is responsible for making those words which come out of their mouth manifest. God said, I will hasten, that's what he told the prophet, I will hasten my words to perform them. So when he speaks those words, it's not his responsibility to get those words to manifest what he says. It's his place to just speak the words, and then God said, I will hasten my words to perform that. Verse 12. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. I like that as a meditation scripture, so you can jot that in your notes as a meditation scripture for this class. Jeremiah 1 and 12, God said, he said, I will hasten my word to perform it. And so therefore, now we don't have to concern about ourselves about whether what we say, if God tells us to say it, whether it's going to come to pass or not. All he has to do is find someone who's going to believe what he says and then act on what he says. One of the apostles was ministering yesterday, and I wanted to get it so bad, and I kept rehashing it over in my head and in my mind. So I began to see it. He said, when revelation come, we have an obligation. And when we have that obligation, we have an obligation to act on that which God, which come out of the apostle's mouth. The individual that hears that word, we have an obligation to receive that word, and then we have to apply that word to what God has told. That's that revelation, that's obligation, that's application. And then once we apply what God tells us to do, then there's a revelation, there's a manifestation that takes place because God said, I hasten my word to perform it. And so if the apostle is coming out of the apostle's mouth, everything that comes out of his mouth is a prophetic utterance, apostolic utterance. And so if we take that word and receive it as it's coming from our apostle, and that if we know it is coming from God through his mouth, then we can take everything that comes out of his mouth and act on it. We, like I said, we have an obligation to act on it. One of the things that happens is individuals take the word of God and they disbelieve. And so when you disbelieve what God is saying through the apostle, that dishonor takes place. And so God said, I can't do any mighty works because of that dishonor, that person, you didn't believe what I said in the word. Let's see a word. Let's see an example in the scripture. What happened when the people began to receive the word of God from the man of God as God gave it. One of my favorite passages of scripture, well, all of my favorites, so, but I use this as a favorite. Turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. It's an awesome scripture, and the Spirit of God ministered to me on this in many ways, and I just took it for myself. I said, I took it for my prosperity. I took it for when I'm in a battle. That's everything that comes up in my life. I can go to 2 Chronicles, and I can find something that God is saying to me and can relate to it to me. Here in 2 Chronicles, verse 20, and like I said, I read. Y'all know I read scripture. I read. I love to read. So, and I go through and read. You can, by reading, you'll get the context of the story, and you'll see everything that's taking place. Here in 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, it says, it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them others beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah and Jerusalem at that time. It's a to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat. So they saw these four armies standing out there coming to fight against them. And he said, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria. And behold, they be at Hazan Tamar, which is in Judah. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So when, like I say, as I read, I see, you can go from the old to the new, transform them. Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek ye first. When something come against you, seek ye first the kingdom of God. God's way of doing it. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. He said, all these things is going to be added unto you. And so first thing, when we, rather than trying to think out and figure it out for ourselves, first thing we're going to do when the adverse situations come up, we're going to go to God. We're going to seek out what it is, God. How do I handle this situation, Father? What do I do first? What is my first step in this situation? So here is Jehoshaphat, which was the king at that time. He didn't think about what he was going to do. He knew he had an army, but he didn't say, I'm going to take my little bitty army and I'm going to go out against these massive four armies that I can't possibly win against. So he feared. He said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judea. They came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven and rulest not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might so that there is none able to So what he was doing, he was giving worship and praise to who God was. He knew who his God was. He knew this God. And so he was telling God how great he is, how wonderful, how powerful you are. You are my Father. And so he was actually giving praise to God for who he was. And once you begin to do that, God said, he knew who I am, so I can do some things for him. He said, and then he said, "Art thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land," verse 7, "this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever. And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as a sword, judgment and pestilence, a famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto our afflictions, then thou wilt hear and help." So what the hell had he done? He had that word in his mouth. He had meditated, took Joshua 1 and 8, and he said, you know, he understood. He said about this book of the law. He said, "This book of the law should not depart out of your mouth, out of your eyes, but you meditate it in it day and night, and then you make your way prosper, and you have good success." So he had it in his heart. It was in his spirit, so he could bring it up. When adverse situations came up against him, he could bring it up out of his spirit, and he began to tell God who he was. And then verse 9, he said, "And they dwelt therein and have built the sanctuary therein for thy name's sake. And if when evil cometh up on us, as a sword, judgment, a pestilence, a famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our afflictions, then thou wilt hear and help." He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I am healed. Done deal. Already done. So this is what God said. You bring up what I've already, what's in you, what I put in you, my spirit, my words. And then I'm responsible for bringing those words to pass. He said, "And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us. Beloved, I wish above all things thou be in health and prosper, even as thy soul prosper." God, give us that. Our soul should prosper. We should be in health. We should not be sick. And so when the enemy come and throw that sickness on you, that's something the enemy is trying to take from you. He's trying to take your health from you. And so you throw it back, you know, you tell God what he's said already, and then you throw it back in the enemy. You let him know that he can't have this. He cannot have my health, because God, Jesus have already provided the help. That's all. You own that. And so when you own it, you can fight for it and know it belongs to you. He said, "Behold, I say on how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit." He said, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that thou cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on you. He began, you know, seek God and tell him who he was. "And all Judah stood before the Lord, and their little ones, and their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benai, the son of Jehiel." These were the high priests of the land. They came out of the tribe of Benjamin, out of the tribe of Levi. And so they was the high priests. And they're the ones who were to speak for God. They're the prophets of God. And so now they're going to speak for God, this tribe, this one tribe that God has set in the earth for him. Like he said apostles, like he said prophets, like he said pastors and teachers. And God said, "This is my kingdom. This is where I set it up. And so since I set it up this way, this is the way I have to do it. And this is the way you're going to get your manifestation, by hearing what I say through my men of God." And when you hear what they say, then that which you're seeking God again, you can receive. It says in verse 15, "And he said, hearken ye all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem." He said, "And thou king of Jehoshaphat." He said, "Thus said the Lord." So, I mean, they could have just took it as, you know, as a man speaking, but he was speaking for God. He said, "Thus said the Lord unto you." He said, "Be not afraid, nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God. That's the word that came out of the prophet's mouth. The man of God had went to heaven. The prophet had went to heaven, found out what it is that heaven wants here on the earth. And when he went to heaven and found out, God told the man, he had to tell him, and he said, look, this battle is not yours, but this battle is God. He said, and then he told him, he said, set yourself and stand ye still and watch ye the salvation of the Lord with you. And so he's saying, you know, don't do anything. Don't just, you know, stand still and know that I'm God is what basically what he said. He said, and he said, hearken, in verse 16, he said, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeria. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself and stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, I always see all these armies sitting there with their spears and their shields and their everything, the arrows, and they coming against me. And God and told me, look, you don't have to fight in this battle. And what you going to do? You're going to say, I got to do something. But God had already said, they come out of God. So by your reasoning, our imaginations, we know we cannot win if we don't do something. But God said, you don't have to fight in this battle. He told him, he said, set yourself and stand still and watch ye the salvation of the Lord. Just watch me do my things, is what he said. And I'm going to take care of this situation for you. And God is telling us the same thing today. He said, I've already provided for you. All you got to do is put your trust. Let me do the work for you. Jesus did everything. It is finished. Jesus finished this thing on the cross for us. And so all we got to do is just hear the word of God when he tell us that. And that's what I say, as we in this apostolic anointing and we begin to see these signs and these wonders and these miracles, and the more we see them, the more faith that we can have for these things to come to pass. And see, once these individuals, these people, these Judahites and these Jerusalem people begin to see what God said. And so they took on themselves, you know, as I go through the story and I begin to see what he said, and Jehoshaphat, which was king, he called, what did he call? He called for praise warriors. He didn't call for people with weapons. He called for praise warriors, people to come out and praise the goodness of God, for God is good and his mercy endureth forever. And so they began to praise God rather than going to war. He done told them you don't have to war. And you know, took into the mind, to the imagination, it seems so foolish for me to be out here, all these people coming against me, and me to be singing songs in front of all these people, you see. And so that's what they began to do. They went out and began. And so as we go through, you can read the rest of it. I'm not going to go any further. I need to get back in my notes. But what we find out, you know, at when they went out, is that they found dead bodies among them, and it took them 3 days. As that was a prosperity by hearing God and seeing that man. It took them 3 days to pick up the spoils. He said there's dead bodies found everywhere, all around them. And they went out and they ambushed each other. They killed each other. But God said it was not them that did it. God said, I did it. And they heard a man of God speak those words. You don't have to fight in this battle. And they received it. They had an obligation to receive what God told them to do, and they had to apply that to their life. So when they applied it to their life, then the manifestation which they were seeking came to fruition. And so God took care of the battle for them. And like I say, you know, as I get into my little battles, my life situations, I can go back to this and read these scriptures. And he said, you don't have to fight in this battle. He said, you know, this is my, God said, this is my battle. So, and I, you know, you hear, as it gets in your spirit and you hear these things, then these things come to fruit in your life. He said, listen to me, O Judah. This is the prophet speaking. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He said, put your trust in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Put your trust in his prophets, and you shall succeed. And so he was telling you got to hear what the man of God is saying. You have to know that it is coming from God. That's the prophet. That's the ones that God had put in our midst, in our past, to speak for us. But we who are in this, I call it this Western culture, have got so much information, and we don't put our trust in the government God has set up, because we think we've seen so much, we've heard so much, we have so much knowledge and so much information, until when God is really speaking, we think it's somebody else is speaking. But once we get trained, our spirit, he said, my spirit, Romans 8:16, he said, my spirit bears witness to my spirit that you are sons of God. But this, he's saying, as a principle that's involved here, he said, your spirit bears witness to my spirit that what I'm telling you right now is what I want you to hear and what's going to happen in your life. So, and that's why we are, the apostle right now is ministering so hard on the Holy Spirit, and knowing that he's the one who's going to guide us and direct us through this kingdom. He's the executive of the kingdom, and he's going to guide us through his grace and through faith. Ephesians 8, I go back as he brought it up. He said, you're saved by grace through faith. He says, it's not of yourself. It is a gift of God. He said, unless any man should boast. See, because when you think you're doing it yourself, you can say, oh, I did that. I can boast about it. But since God is doing it, none of us can boast. When something comes to you, when you receive something, you can't boast about it because you didn't do it anyway. God did it. And so what we do, we just receive it, knowing that God himself did this for us. Our Apostle Paul, I got on the grace, he got over there. And Apostle Paul said, I am what I am because of the grace of God. See, God said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to help you. If you believe me and you set your mind to me, he said, I'm gonna do it for you. He's going to come in the things that you cannot do for yourself. He's going to give you his ability that you can perform the impossibility. That's God's grace. That's what he's going to do for you. Success is built through the value we maintain for the prophetic voices in our environment. And like I say, success is built through the value that we maintain for the prophetic voices in our environment. So again, go back and put that principle of honor in there, and you can see it as we go through these lessons. You can bring what we've said previously up to what we're saying right now, and that's how we build. That's how you build up on. It's like putting a building together. And so you build it up on brick upon brick, and the word of God say line upon line, precept upon precept, word on word on word. And so we believe that we have a prophet in our midst, and when we hear that prophet speak for the word of God, then we receive that word of God, and then we act on what God tells us to do. Because of our prosperity to come through our agreement with heaven's culture, and the prophets clarify the reality that culture for us and invite us to enter in. And so what happened? Let's look at opposite of not hearing what the word of God said. Turn to Matthew. When you don't take what God says through his men of God, through his prophets. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, beginning at 53. Like I said, again, I'll read, and we can get the context of what is happening here. Matthew 13, beginning at verse 53, it says, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in that synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? They was astonished at what he was teaching and what he was saying and his acts and what he was what was being manifested in his life. He goes on to say, verse 55 says, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother called Mary and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? and his sisters, are not they all with us? Whence then have this man all these things? So here was Jesus coming in. He began to teach them. He began to teach them in parables. But what did they do? They got out of the realm of the spirit, and they got back into the natural, and they began to bring up his natural heritage rather than his spiritual heritage. And so because they did that, they could not receive what this man is saying. So the same thing happened to us every day. God put a prophet in front of us, and we began to talk about his natural heritage. Who is this? He used to run the streets and that type of thing. But God has called men, and put this these gifts in them so they can impart them to the body of Christ. Watch what it says here. And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, he said, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And see, when a man of God speaks, even though it's coming from God, he have to find someone who's going to believe what he's saying. And because we know Jesus did many mighty works while he was on it. He was just walking into Satan's territory, destroying the works of the devil. But he could not find, in his own hometown, he could not find anybody who would believe. Because, they was astonished at what he was saying. But guess what? He could not do any mighty works because of their unbelief. And when unbelieve what the man of God is coming out of the man of God's mouth, you're dishonoring that gift which God has put in your presence. And so, and then you can't receive anything. So when the prophet speaks, even though he's speaking for God, you have to find somebody who's going to believe what he's saying, so then God can manifest himself in the earth realm. That's how God gets his glory in the earth realm, by hearing men who God has put in the body of Christ to speak to the body so he can get himself in the earth realm. And so bring heaven to earth. And that's what the apostles and the prophets are doing. They're going to heaven, finding out what it is that heaven wants, and bringing that to earth. And so we have to be able to see that. And so, but again, we're not going to get it here. We're not going to get it in our heads. It has to be revealed to us by the Spirit of God. And so every time I get a doubt about what something, a word that has come forth from God, I don't try to figure it out for myself. I go to the source. Holy Spirit, reveal it to me. Give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of this so I can know exactly what you're saying. What is my next move in this situation? We are spiritual beings. And since we are spiritual beings and we have spiritual help, that's what Jesus told us. He's going to say, I'm going to send you another helper, someone who's going to help you navigate through this. It's so vast that we can't do it ourselves. And so since we got a helper who knows everything, who knows where all the pitfalls are, who knows where all the traps are, and he can navigate us through this spiritual maze that we're going through. And that way we can stay out of the enemy's territory. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. That's why he gave them to us. And that we can act like Jesus did when he was here on the earth. And so, again, he said he couldn't do no mighty works because of their unbelief. And so, like again, we have to find somebody, we who are in the body, and we're hearing what men of God are saying, what prophets are saying, what apostles are saying. Our apostle yesterday, if you go back and listen to Tate, he gave us some prophetic words that came straight out of the mouth. He said it came from heaven. And we have to have faith that it came out of heaven. Everything in this kingdom, we have to receive it by faith. It's a faith kingdom. And so by faith, when it comes out of his mouth, it came to me. And then again, those four statements I made, it was revealed to the prophet. He brought it to you. Then you have an obligation to receive it and believe it. You have to apply it to your life. And then when you apply it to your life, that manifestation that you're seeking God for will begin to manifest in your life. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father God, we spoke to your people and we told them exactly what you told us to tell them. And Father God, I thank you that they've heard us. and they've seen, they see what you're saying to them, they hear what you're saying, they have an understanding of what you're saying. And they're no longer just hearers, Father, they're becoming doers of what you tell us to do. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.